Good morning. Welcome to our Thursday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We've been talking and praying this week about a road of generosity and how the generosity of God towards us, represented in Jesus, represented in His gift of His Spirit, represented in His nature, all ought to lead us to a road of generosity of our own. And each day we've talked and prayed about a different aspect of what that looks like, how God plants that seed of generosity in our life, how it grows. And today we're going to be talking about extreme circumstances and generosity and how they're related or ought to be related in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, out of their severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, I suspect that if God had not combined all of those elements together in one verse, there's very few people that would naturally put those together. To think of overflowing joy, extreme poverty, severe trial, doesn't sound like a natural recipe for generosity. And yet, God gives it to us as a supernatural recipe for generosity. So even in the midst of severe trials, in the midst of extreme circumstances, people were eager to give whatever they had to help those who had even less. Their overflowing joy at being made right with God through Jesus Christ. Their overflowing joy in being participants in the gospel. Their overflowing joy in knowing the love of God and the love of those who had shared Jesus with them. Combined with an extreme poverty, overflowed in an unexpected generosity. It reminds me of the core story of this past Sunday's message that really focused on this idea of what is it that we give? The rich who were giving large sums of money, and a widow who gave two small coins, everything she had, Jesus said. The one was giving what was convenient, what was easy. The other was giving generously. And we don't know her motivation. We don't even know the rich person's motivation. But we do see the results. She is praised by Jesus, lifted up as an example of one who has this overflowing generosity. And so many times we look at our own life and we think, I can't. And I know in my life, many times when those words are formed in my mind regarding my generosity, the more accurate words are, I won't. And when we live life recognizing what God has given us, there are times where we become hardened to the plight of others. Our circumstances ought to make us more aware of the difficulties of life, and yet somehow we tend to look at life and think, well, we've made it, they can too. That old American adage of pulling ourselves up by our own bootstrap, well, it isn't really true. Without God's sustaining us, without God providing for us, we are nothing. And when we look at God's directive for how we give and how generosity ought to look, it's not a public show. It's not an act of drawing attention to ourselves. It ought to be a matter between us and God. And if it involves someone else, then it ought to be something that honors God rather than us. And seeing people in need ought to move us to a point of compassion. That was the primary response of Jesus as he traveled and went from city to city, from village to village. The crowds would gather. They would bring their sick. They would bring their children. They would bring their neighborhood. And even at times where Jesus was trying to withdraw from the crowds to spend time with his Father, when he would look upon the crowds, the Bible says he would be moved to compassion. And instead of continuing on his way, he would use that compassion as an avenue of generosity. When we examine our own severe trials, when we examine our own level of poverty, you know, it's interesting. There's very few people that think they're rich. Our general tendency is to compare what we have to those who have more. It's not very common for us to naturally compare what we have to those who have less. And so we're always thinking we're behind. We're lacking. We deserve something more. And the people that Paul was writing about, they were people who realized that even in their extreme poverty, there were others who had even greater need. And so their severe trials, the great persecution that was taking place throughout Jerusalem and throughout the Roman Empire, that severe trial included hardship. It included often financial hardship. But in the midst of the severe trial, in the midst of the extreme poverty, was an overflowing joy that produced great generosity. What would happen if every day you and I would wake up, regardless of the level of trial, the level of poverty that we considered ourselves to be in, if we would wake up with that overflowing joy that comes from the presence of God? What would happen if we realized God's recipe for great generosity looks very different from the world's recipe. And we would take our hardships, we would take our difficulties, we would take our lack. And we would mix them all in with an overflowing joy. And watch what God produces. You see, I think this great generosity was not a product of their will. I don't think it was a product of their desire. It was a product of God's Spirit. And you and I live today as Christians, as those who belong to Jesus, with that same Spirit. The question is, will we let God's Spirit produce in us that same great generosity? Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us and has been so generous with us in giving us all that we need for righteousness, for being made right with you. You accomplished that through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. And Father, today as we examine our circumstances, as we evaluate the severity of the trials that we find ourselves facing, as we evaluate our resources and find areas that are lacking, may we focus in the midst of all of our hardship and difficulties and things that we don't like on the overflowing joy of being made right with you, of knowing the presence of your Spirit, of understanding how you've continued to provide. Whether we view ourselves in extreme poverty or in extreme riches, either end of the spectrum and everything in between, you've promised that you will never leave us or forsake us. Our need for you, our desire to be with you and have you with us, ought to be consistent regardless of how we're viewed by the world, regardless of how our resources stack up against anyone else's. Father, may we recognize this great responsibility, this great privilege of living a life of generosity. And Father, may you open our eyes to how that can be done. And in times when our resources seem so meager, may you teach us how to have this great generosity, how to have an overflowing joy. When there's nothing to give, may you show us what to give. When there's nothing to share, may you show us what to share. And Father, today as we live life, may we live a generous life. And whether that generosity is expressed in finances, whether it's expressed in love, whether it's expressed in hope, whether expressed in all forms of help that we can imagine, may we accurately evaluate all that you have put into our life, all that is available to us, all that you want to share through us. And may we be seen as those that, regardless of our trials and financial situation, that our overflowing joy in the midst of any circumstance produces great generosity, because we share the most valuable thing ever, and that's Jesus. And Father, as we share Jesus, may we be very deliberate about lifting him up so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Thursday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.